Let's do
Blog
it.
Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, oh, oh. And oh yeah. African American Power Saturday. Here's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome. And oh, we got health and wellness. We got positive engagement. We got so much today. We're talking to Brother Walker Martin. Ricky Martin. Sorry, Brother Ricky. We're going to be talking about in the African American community. Stay tuned. Click in. And always remember, better love. No greater love. We got Brother Ricky Martin coming in, Brother George Woody Lynch and Kwanzaa. Tell somebody, it's about African-American empowerment. It's 365 days of you-know-what for you-know-who. And we start, as always, talking about health and wellness, right? And today, as a part of it, we're focusing on the A, right, and what we need to do to continue to build ourselves, right, intellectually, mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, and culturally, and how to do that really well, right? It's a mind, body, spirit thing. And here at the African American Empowerment Family, we're really focusing on how to teach, train, and develop our people to embody and incorporate those aspects of life, a solid system, right? That system will help us to navigate other systems as we distribute information, right, because knowledge is power, on how to begin to maneuver the systems that are in place and how to navigate ourselves toward a better life, a peaceful life, more productive lives. But more importantly for this, the aspect of the A that we'll be talking to Brother Ricky about today is about those things that we need, right, those attributes and qualities that we need to have a successful health and wellness, and how do we do that effectively to continue to have our lives to be most positive and most productive. It is up to us that as we continue to move forward, of course, on the individual level, it's very important that you take care of yourself. Health is your wealth, and your personal wellness and the manifestation of wellness through self-care is so vitally important to the success of the individual, but also as this idea of wellness continues to be perpetuated down into the community and into our young people and into the next generation. It is the work that we must do to solidify that, right? And it is through education that we do that consistently. Today, we'll be talking about African-American health. We'll be talking about African-American wellness, fitness, and nutrition, and how we can continue to develop those strategies, because it is so vitally important that we take care of ourselves, right? And you cannot neglect the temple, cannot neglect the body. And so, again, as we go through the tenets of the NAAEA, I want you to find yourself in the process. So we'll spell peace out as we go into this afternoon, and we'll start with the tenets of the NAAEA, spelling out peace, the peace concept. We need a political agenda at every level of this society, culture, that really looks at how to teach and train and develop our people to understand their political system, the political system of capitalism, the political system of how the laws work in this society, how the judicial system work in this society, how the legal system work, policing work, so we educate our people on navigating the system. We just had a family to get pulled over the other day, right? What are your rights, and do you know your rights, and do you know the laws that stand behind your rights that are supposed to protect you in this country? And it's so important that we understand those rights and those rules and those laws and how to, again, navigate the system as they continue to want to ensure that the law is being passed, right, on to us. We have to make sure that they are abiding by the law and the system. And when that doesn't happen, then we know that there are legal remedies for those behaviors. Next is the E, economics, right? An economic agenda that really looks at how we can develop systems that help us to sustain ourselves, to create institutions that define our own reality. How do we build corporations from the ground up? How do we employ and educate our people on fiscal management, how to manage those dollars that come in, and then how to circulate those dollars in the communities that we begin to sustain one another and not let those dollars bleed out? How do we have an opportunity to understand how capitalism works at every level and then begin to stop becoming consumers but producers, that we begin to produce products, right? And that we produce toothbrushes and toothpaste and underwear and shoes and socks to clothe and shelter our people, right? How do we produce adequate housing for our people, for example, and what that looks like over the long haul? And so those kind of things, the economic trends of how we must invest and save and how do we operate inside of the system that benefits us well. Next, and what we'll be talking about today is the A, so I won't go in too deep, but health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition, how to take care of your body, why it's important that you take care of your system. Why do you have to understand how to push away from the table and those processed food products that make us sick? You know, we're leading the league in health disparities, and how do we continue to manifest the right attitude and the right ways of looking out for our wellness and our health as we move through life. Next, it's the C, culture, relevant cultural programs like this one to help us get confidence, right, to educate us and to do those things that culture does, and that's to solidify wellness within ourselves, that we can be confident about who we are and what we look like, and that, again, is passed on to our next generation. And lastly, comprehensive education that really looks at how we can continue to fortify ourselves through knowledge and information. You know, knowledge is power. And information is how we can begin to make decisions that are proper and appropriate for our families and the next generation as well. It is now time for the Stan Macklin moment, but join us, www.naaea.weebly.com. We need your support, and we need your help to ensure that we continue to do the work of working on ourselves each day, every day, one day at a time. Be right back.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Brothers and sisters, Brother Stan is right. We need institutions that define our own reality, and that's the work, informing each other. Right. And then developing systems that we know that we can depend on to lead us in the right direction. And it's so important that we create these institutions that our college graduates from our HBCUs, for example, can have a place to land, right, in a system that we create and develop that employ them. Right. So they can work for you and for me and for our community and don't have to go and work for 6 or 8 years to go and be a manager at Macy's or McDonald's or Walmart. Right. Nothing wrong with those positions, but how about working in your field? Right. And a lot of our young people are not able to do that or afforded the opportunities to do that. We need to create those opportunities for ourselves. Now, my favorite segment of the show with Brother George, it's the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with Brother George coming right up. Oh, yeah. Bring it. Oh, yeah. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
And, all right, welcome to the show. How are you, brother?
I'm doing fine, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well today. Right. We got a good show. Well, I know we got a good show with Brother Ricky here. And we're going to get your segment in so we can move right on. What you got for us today? You got a good one for us today, don't you, sir?
Yes, sir. From the Aguza Saba, the principal day with purpose. To make as our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. That's a subject that one day needs to be talked about extensively through an interview, maybe with Dr. Bridges, to talk about what our traditional greatness. Yes. I'm sorry. Nia, purpose. The act of being responsible demonstrates that a person is committed to a certain standard of behavior. Through commitment to an ideal, to a goal, to a positive, ongoing relationship with someone or something, we find our purpose in life and begin to fulfill our human potential. And that's powerful. That's neat. Now, today, for the Willie Lynn segment, I want to talk out of a book that's a part of Marcus Garvey's library. Marcus Garvey had a university that he trained his soldiers in. And the book that I'm going to read from is called Message to the People, The Course of African Philosophy. And it's edited by Tony Martin. This is in a section called Self-Initiative. Every man is his own responsibility in life. Nature never made anyone dually, but singly. Therefore, you have your single responsibility. The purpose of life is to live fully. Hence, the single life must be complete, and in fact, it is so with every man. Therefore, it is the duty of every man and woman. When they say the term man, they're talking about man and woman, to fall back on himself for what he wants. It is necessary for a man to use all his faculties for his own protection. He always has a reserve of self-expression and action upon which to fall to protect and defend himself. Therefore, he must develop his faculty to do things thoroughly for himself. He must rely upon himself first for initiating all those things that may contribute to his personal well-being. Whatever he wants to do should first come from himself, as he should know what is best for himself. Advice may be helpful, but only to the extent that you have reason and judgment enough to see the value of the advice. Otherwise, it may be harmful. Very few people, if any, who advise others do so completely honestly. Generally, they advise with a motive for which the individual must pay the price, whatever the price may be. Therefore, the best individual possible to be that the individual develop in himself or herself the courage to do things on his or her own account, always counting the cost and benefits or bad results. I think that was very well put. That's not the entire chapter. That's just a portion of it. But I think that's going to kind of segue into the value of health and how keeping yourself in good health helps you think better, move better, do things in life better, even make better decisions when you're in good condition. You sleep well, so you do a lot of things that that keep the body healthy and keep it healthy for a long time. And one of the things in my life that's a fear to me is I don't want to go away sick. I don't want people to be, family to be bogged down with taking care of me because I'm sick. I just want to go and be out, and that's the end of it. And so I try to keep myself in good health and in good spirits. So, Brother Marvin, if you have the question of the week for me, then you can throw it at me, you know, and I'm ready for it.
All right. Brother George?
Yes, sir.
You ready for the question of the week? It's the African-American Empowerment Question of the Week. It is, how do we develop love for self? Develop love for self.
Well, it starts by something I stated that Carter G. Woodson said, push out. And so we need to push out the negative concepts, the negative thoughts that have been put into us by outside forces that want us to hate ourselves, to love what they accomplished, hate what we have. And so we have to learn exactly who we are, and we have to learn the beauty within ourselves. We have to learn the beauty of kinky hair because we don't fully understand what that is. That's a very powerful thing, that kinky hair. Because one of the things that we don't pay attention to is we're the only ones with it. Everybody else got straight hair. And we don't understand we're the ones with the good hair. You know, and as a matter of fact, next week, I'm going to get some information on hair so that I can read it. But we need to learn to love ourselves and love what we have, love the things that we've accomplished. We need to overload our children with the things we have accomplished. And that will, in itself, help to create a different mindset for our young people. And I'm planning on going on a venture to start that. So I thank you for that question, brother, and I hope that answers.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brother George. That's the tip of the week. If you can love your beautiful brown or black self just the way you are, those luscious lips, that kinky hair, that nose, whether it's large or small, that skin, whether it's light, bright, or jet black, is yours. You are in the image of the Creator, brothers and sisters, and you are the most magnificent creation. Feel confident in that. And that is what it's all about, finding the beauty in you that has been taken from us and reapplied, that we don't love what we look like. Again, I'm not saying be better than anybody or promote in a way in which is negative. What I'm saying is just love your beautiful self just as you are, and you can't go wrong. That is the African-American Empowerment of the Week. Can you look in the mirror and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and be okay with it? Or are you into changing what it is that you see because somebody has created a construct that you now believe? Thank you, Brother George. It's almost time for Brother Ricky Martin to come on in and do what he does. Go do some housekeeping real quick. 845-277-9250 is the call-in live line. That's 845-277-9250 if you want to pop in and ask Brother Ricky Martin a question or have a discussion with us. Or you can go over to Slido. Slido's number today is at slido.com, S-L-I-D-O.com, and to put this number in. There's going to be a box that comes up, 68. I'll say it again, and I'll announce it later. 68, slido.com, 82568. Get on over there, put your comment in if you don't want to talk on the call-in line. But we want to hear from you because this is the People's Show, and it's about African-American empowerment 365 days of the year. And now for our guest today in our online classroom, we got Brother Ricky Martin. He's about a health and wellness guru, I would call him that, and he is here today to share with us on African-American health and wellness. Let's bring him in, and let's welcome the brother to the show, brother.
Bring it! What?
DMX. Yep, yep. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Welcome to the show. How are you?
I am good. I am good, brother. You hear me loud and clear?
Yes, sir. Coming in clear.
Oh, all right. All right. Yay. Thank you for having me on again. I really appreciate this.
Always. You are a wealth of knowledge, right? And one thing we know, Brother Ricky, is that our people need health and wellness like water, like air, right? And you are the man that has been doing this work of bringing health and wellness to our community. So for the brothers who are and the sisters who are in other states and other localities, we're going to bring them up to speed on educating them on the work that you do and some suggestions that really speaks to the health and wellness, mind, body, and spirit in order to heal our community. So introduce yourself, brother, and then let's get into the conversation.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, my name is Ricky Martin. I'm a transplant to the Richmond area by way of New York, North Carolina, Kansas City. I've been around a few different places. I've been here for over 20 years, and since being here, I've been able to, grow personally, been able to establish a family, a home base, and do some wonderful things in the community. I wanted to jump right in really quick because I know a friend of mine is on the call, Janine Bell of the Ledbetter Folklore Society. I just want to very quickly shout out the Kwanzaa festival, the Kwanzaa event on December 30th at the Richmond Convention Center. We probably get to talk about that some more as we go along, and hopefully Janine will call in and ask some questions and talk about that. Because when y'all talked about the cultural aspect of knowing who we are and how that ties in with our self-esteem and our overall health, that was first and foremost in my mind. Going to places and events like this that's coming up that can give us an overall view of who we are, where we come from, and what we can expect for the future is paramount. It's the most essential thing we can be doing. I think it's more important, really, than going to our 9-to-5s. I mean, we have to work, we have to do things, but we have to do some additional stuff that is probably much more important than serving the man, that's if you have that type of job. So Janine Bell and Kwanzaa Festival, December 30th, and we'll get back to that.
Janine's last four? She's on the line?
Say that again.
The last four for number?
Yeah, hold on. I think I can find that right away for you. That way you can pull it right in, huh? Let's see.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. 1250?
All right, I see her.
Or 30.
I'm going to bring her in. Janine.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody.
Janine, hey, welcome to the
everybody.
Show. How are you?
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
I am
man.
Super great. How
yeah.
are you?
No.
Thank
good,
you for
good,
inviting
good.
Me
I got
to
say this right.
This esteemed gathering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had to have you on.
Queen of culture.
Culture, right? Yeah.
Well,
East culture.
No, you're right.
The
culture
of
culture.
You're right, Ricky.
Right.
You're right, Ricky. Knowing, and it applies to what's been discussed throughout the whole show, self-love, knowledge of self, all of that is mental health, right, and spiritual alignment, that occult health. And when we think about cultural groups in America, the so-called melting pot or the salad bowl or whatever the one you want to pick, every cultural group that has come here voluntarily has, by design and to its benefit, come with their culture intact. That has been a key to their success. But, of course, Africans who didn't make the choice initially, many people from the continent have chosen to come here more recently. But those of us who did not, all of that makes us whole was stripped away. So to Dr. Coringa's point, in creating the Kwanzaa holiday in the mid-1960s was to realize the holistic nature of health and reconnection with identity and traditional African value systems. So
we are very happy
at the Alegba Folklore Society to present the Capital City Kwanzaa Festival in Richmond, Virginia on December 30th for all of the reasons that you all have been talking about thus far.
Exactly. I knew we had to have you on. When they invited me, my first mind went to, oh, the Kwanzaa Festival is coming up. And Brother Baba Kaba Hiawatha Kamenei is going to be the main speaker. And that's a big deal for me. I don't know. You know, that's a really big deal for me. I'm so happy about that. I remember him coming.
Deal.
It's been almost 9 years ago. And he did a wonderful thing specifically for the youth. So I'm looking forward to bringing some youth with me to the festival this year. Yeah. So I want to put out there, if you know any youth that are interested in attending, I've already purchased a lot of tickets. If you reach out to me, I'll make sure you get a free ticket. And if need be, I can help you with transportation, even though the bus lines are free now. And you can get, if you're in the Big Six, you're really close to the convention center, and we'll make sure you get in. Yeah.
So can I share what's going to be happening? Can I share what's going to be happening at the festival?
Yeah.
Quickly.
Go ahead.
Give you some. I was looking on your website, this organization's website earlier, and many of the tenets that you talk about, once again, are very holistic to the African American community. And so, of course, the stage is going to be broadcasting and accessible for all who attend to hear Professor Carbonet, but also to be immersed in African dance and drumming and vocal music. We have Sheikh Kamala Jabate from Mali, West Africa, will be on the stage with us. We have Nigerian Afrobeats with rhythm, so it's a diasporic affair. The brother was talking about the principal Nia earlier. The festival happens on the day of Nia, so we're very purposeful in how we're organizing it. And we have the Nia sessions, so people can sit with community activists and hear about their activations in community towards restoring our people to our traditional greatness, and not only just listen to it, but see how they can get involved. See how they can get involved. Kwanzaa is a harvest festival. See how they can get involved and be fertile, ending this year and crossing over to the next. We're going to have the candle lighting ceremony, so people who are just learning about the holiday can understand the Nguzo Saba and what that's all about. And we do this in the name of our ancestors. It's a very moving, ritualistic part of the festival that I think is one of my favorites. Of course, we talked about earlier, you all talked about earlier, economics. I heard that word come up, Ujamaa. And so we have the African market, our people producing, making, selling, buying from among one another. Foods from the African diaspora. We've been talking about health once again. Foods from the African diaspora. We have lots of vegetables. We have vegan. There might be some chicken or some fish, but we're going to stop it right there, okay? Because we want our people to eat healthy on that day. And along with Ricky's children, bring your children for Watoto Kwanzaa. Watoto, of course, Kiswahili is a word for children, so that they can be engaged at their level about the holiday. Get yourself a massage while you're there with the Kuzunduka Healing Collective. So many ways that we can be in a space, be in a village, be holistic, be self-determined at the Capital City Kwanzaa Festival on December 30th in Richmond, Virginia, at the Greater Richmond Convention Center.
Can you hear
you
me?
You might as well go ahead and get the website.
Well,
can you hear me, Janine?
It is, people can visit us at E like Elegba, F like folklore, S like society, EFS Inc. like incorporated.org. You can follow us on Instagram or Facebook. You can pick up the phone and call 804-644-3900 and get all the information. Tickets are on the website, little bitty tickets. Don't get nervous. Little bitty tickets are on the website, as well as at our cultural center. So we're really planning an event that's filled with love and that's filled with power for the people.
Yes. Good stuff. Really
Exhibit
good.
Exhibit Hall B.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And Allegro Folklore Society is located on Broad and, what is it, First Street, right? Right on the corner?
Yep. First and Broad, 101 East Broad Street in the heart of the city. So
at a crossroads.
Those are some of at the crossroads. Okay.
Some who are
listening are guarding the crossroads.
Come on by
to the house, the cultural center. Come on by, feel at home when you do.
Excellent.
The event is from 1 until 7. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Brother Marvin. Yes, I can hear you good. Can you hear me?
Janine, can you hear me?
I do.
Okay, good. I just wanted to welcome you and thank you for stopping by, right? I want people to come out, right? We got listeners all around the country, but if you're on the East Coast or if you're in the region, let's make sure that you stop by the Capital City Kwanzaa Festival. Janine's been doing this forever, right? She is a pioneer. She's been doing it, and we want to support her. So if you're in the area, if you're in D.C., Baltimore, Washington, all of our North Carolina, South Carolina listeners, Tennessee listeners, come to Richmond. Those who are in Northern Virginia and out in the western portions, Harrisonburg, come to Richmond and be a part of the festival so that we can support this sister in her efforts. She has a mom. We got to bring you on by yourself, Janine, one day and talk about all the things that you can hear around.
That's not just the whole time.
That's a whole show in itself. But we want to really focus. And we got, about 2 weeks to get it done. So we'll promote during the week and next week, and we'll come back and make another announcement next week about the Kwanzaa Festival. We want to make sure that it's a great turnout. Brother Ricky is talking about free tickets for the kids, so if you want to get in touch with him, he'll give you your information. Janine has given you her number, 804-644-3900. Call, get your tickets. We want to make sure that we sell this thing out. Is that conference room B, Janine?
It is Exhibit Hall B at 5th and Marshall Street.
Marshall. Come out. We're going to celebrate. The principles of Kwanzaa is so important. Before you go, Janine, I want to talk about how important those principles are of Kwanzaa, and how do you see that being a point of a reflection in the lives of our people to help improve our community?
Oh, thank you for that question. I mean, Kwanzaa 365, right? We amplify December 26th through January 1st, but we live it all year. So you know, Dr. Kuringa was very masterful when he started out with Umoja or unity. Because before we can do anything else, we have to be in agreement. We have to be in oneness.
Mm-hmm.
Unity is the first thing. And I think that that is a point of healing in community, because our sojourn here in America has made us sort of disparate. We aren't the collective that we could be, and but it is a collective that we gonna be, because it's the key to our survival. It's the key to our thriving. Umoja, unity. And then my favorite is Kujichagulia. Kujichagulia, self-determination, where we define for ourselves and think for ourselves and name ourselves instead of being named for and defined by others. Think about it. A simple one, minority. Oh, I'm a minority.
Yep.
And labeling. Yep. And labeling. I'm a minority. Mm-hmm. I'm a minority business owner. I'm a minority person. I'm a minority. Oh, the minorities. And it's like a badge of honor. But a minority is always a loser.
Mm.
Why would you want to label yourself that? The minority never stands in a vote. Yeah, and then that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that.
And the legal system, a minor cannot even represent themselves.
Preach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And we're really not globally. We're more of us. Yeah. Way more.
Absolutely.
That's the truth.
9/10 of the world's people have color.
And that's going to change
and
on this continent in the next few years.
Right. And that's part of the fear that we see happening right now.
Yeah.
But that's another story for another day.
That's right.
Yep. Then we go on to Ujima, or collective work and responsibility, building and maintaining our community together and making our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and solving them together. That also, I think, goes back to that unity. You know how sometimes we see something happening and we just walk away. It ain't my problem, but it is. You know, when I win, the world wins. When the world wins, I win. So collective work and responsibility. You couldn't have this radio show otherwise. We talked about Ujamaa cooperative economics. Buy black. It's pretty simple. Buy black. And then we talked about NIA purpose, restoring our people to our traditional greatness. How many of us don't even know what that looks like? Not that it's our fault, but, you know, America never bothered to explain it. And schools never bothered to teach it. And so then the books became unattractive because it was unfamiliar. And then the behavioral patterns are set in place. Traditional greatness. Kuumba, creativity, as we are co-creating with God at every moment. To do always as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it.
All right.
And it's not just art, but it's caring. Why you got to throw the trash out the window onto the ground? You can hold it for a little while to find a proper receptacle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speak into, sometimes I'm with people and they talk about black people and they talk about go walking in certain rooms. Ooh, and I don't know if I'm going to be accepted. If I go in, I don't know if I'm going to be accepted. But first of all, if we walk in our Kujichagulia, and walk in there in our Kuumba to speak into the gathering what we know is creative, what we know is enhancement, what we know is light. That comes from that self-love as well, right? Then that's that practice. That's the practice that leads us to our imani, our faith, to believe. That's the trick word, because you can say it all day, but to believe with all our heart in our people. I love black people, even when they be getting on my nerves. I love black people, our parents, our teachers. Y'all know. Our leaders, and listen to this part, and the righteousness and victory. You got to believe in the victory of our struggle. You know, we kind of subconsciously think that there is no victory. So we just, you know, maintain wherever we are, make the decisions that we make, and say, well, it just is the way it is. But you got to believe in the victory. Black people populated the planet first. God did that. And helped to shape what it is today.
True.
We are gifts to the world. And that self-love we were talking about helps us to see ourselves that way, to see our own possibilities. And when people come to the festival, we want them to feel that. And then we want to talk about how we can be in that power, in that light, in that love throughout the year. Make it a way of being. They say the devil's a liar. Make the oppressor a liar.
Come on.
But you got to believe it first.
Denise, like it lives. Go ahead, Denise.
Go ahead, Denise.
I'm done.
Okay, I got it.
This is recorded, right?
Absolutely. Okay, Janine, one more question, right? You talked about the Kwanzaa Festival coming up on the 30th of December. Well, how did you get started, and how long ago did you start, and what made you start the Kwanzaa Festival? We're going to get to you in a minute, Brother Ricky. We're going to get to you.
I'm good. I'm enjoying this. I knew it was going to be like this. Go ahead.
So, what had happened was,
what happened? Oh, what happened?
There's more to the story.
Yeah, I mean, the Capital City Kwanzaa Festival's been going on since 1991, somewhere back in there. You know, Richmond, Virginia, and I know that some of you are familiar with Richmond's history, and I know that some of you are familiar with how the ancestors have said and how our elders say you got to go out the way you come in. And Richmond's history is a testament to how this nation evolved. In a not good way. And so Richmond, I see, is a place where we can make known the stories of our traditional greatness, make known the stories of our Kuji Chagulia through the John Mitchells and the Maggie Walkers and the Gabriels. Etc. Where we can make known the stories of African ethnicities and the African presence in the architecture that we pass by every day, and
every
we don't
day.
Even see it. We can help make it clear. Help make it visible so that we can then say, here is Richmond as a place that is a guidepost, a point of light for how the nation may continue on its evolution. Look at the black excellence that is everywhere. So the festival started to help to kind of make those points. And I guess the people said, okay, they liked it. They said, yes, we need this, because each year they keep coming. And each year we are just so humbled to see it, so gratified to see it. And wishing that we could do more.
Yeah.
So come on out and make it an institution.
We're going to support you.
No doubt.
Well,
Brother Ricky got tickets.
That.
So for our listeners,
mm-hmm.
if you want to call me,
804-484-0736,
you can contact me about tickets. Or also for those who are in our Men in Action group, we're going to be there in full force, right, showing our men the way and supporting community activities and events as well. All right, Janine, I got to get to Brother Ricky. Thank you so much. Any final thoughts or comments? Can you give that website again and the date and time of the Kwanzaa Festival?
Sure. Thank you so much. The 2023 Capital City Kwanzaa Festival, one of the largest on the East Coast, happens on Saturday, December 30th from 1 until 7 p.m. in the Greater Richmond Convention Center, Exhibit Hall B at 5th and Marshall Street. All the information is available at EFS, E as in Elegba, F as in Folklore, S as in Society, EFS Inc. as in Incorporated, .org. You can get information there. You can get tickets there. You can find out about parking there. Everything you want to know.
All right. Thank you, sister. You are so valuable to us. We thank you for your work.
Yeah.
Thank you for your commitment to our people. And also, just in case you didn't know, she also does slave trail tours as well and other cultural activities.
Right.
So we'll have to get you back, Janine, to get it, get it all as a part of what we're doing, because we are really enhancing those things that is so significant to our culture and to our people. And so we want to join forces with everybody that's doing the work of improving African-American mind, body, spirit, and community. So thank you, sister, and definitely I'll reach out to you after the show so we can continue to collaborate. And by the way, the last time I saw you, we were at the Kente Festival over at VCU. For the dawning of the Kente.
Right. The dawning of the Kente for the graduates.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a while ago
now. Yeah. That was last May for their graduation. So we got to get together as soon as we can.
More frequently. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Janine.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janine.
Blessings.
Yeah.
Thank you for inviting
me.
So
much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Come back
and
next week.
I might as well
again.
Go ahead and put it out there. I sent a copy of the link to Brother Kava a few minutes ago and told him that Janine was on now. So. If he lets me know that he's on the call, I'll let you know too, brother, because he might want to chime in.
Okay,
we shall see.
Definitely.
Well,
right? Absolutely. The more the merrier. Right. And again, our people need to know Janine. Thank you, Janine.
Thank you.
That was good.
Bye-bye.
I like that. Thank you, sister.
Yes.
I like that. Ricky, this is the way, right?
Yes.
Because our people need knowledge and information.
Yes.
And while we are here to give it to them, right, while we got breath in our bodies, we need people to know about the work that's being done on the ground. And I know this sister has been doing the work, she says, since the 90s. And Brother George, you know, we have all, Brother Ron, and so many of us who have been working, you know, we're getting up in age now somewhat. And we have to pass this on, and we have to continue to do that, put institutions in place to define our own reality. Capital City Kwanzaa Festival on the 30th. You got to be there. Get your tickets, come by, support it, right, and get into the festive mode of doing things culturally in a way in which it enhances and enriches us as we grow out of a mindset and into a growth mindset that looks at enhancing the best of ourselves and our people one day at a time. Thank you, Sister Janine. If Brother Cobb, come on, let me know, because we'll continue to move that forward. But in the meantime, let's go back to you, brother.
Oh, yeah.
I need to put you on the sideline right quick, but we got to get that information out when it comes. All right, so let's talk about health and wellness, right, in our community, and why that's so vitally important as a component to supporting the cultural pieces and so many other pieces that create the whole, right? There's a whole person here, right? And that whole person has to be well, right? Mentally well, physically well, emotionally well, and spiritually well. And how do we begin to use these components to begin to heal our community one individual at a time? What are your thoughts, Brother Ricky?
Well, coming back in now, listening to what I've heard so far, a lot of things have come to my mind. I probably need to just be very transparent and say this in a way of an example for myself. Coming to Richmond as a transplant, as a homeless person with not many resources at all, I relied solely on the community. Straight up and down, no place to go, lay my head, no food, nothing at all. I found the community welcomed me with open arms in a lot of areas, in all the areas that I really, really needed. One of the first places I went to get assistance, a place to wash, eventually get a job, was the YMCA. That downtown YMCA was situated in such a way in the community that there was access to a lot of things. A lot of people were coming through there. Folks like Janine, whose spot is right around the corner. And it was those type of folks that saw me in my need and fed into me. Like, brother, you could do this. Brother, you could do this, try that. And gave me a space to talk and talk about what's going on with me and to emote and to get some things off of my chest like you're doing right now. That's, for me, is one of the main components of mental health, being able to really open up to somebody who probably does have your best interest at heart because they're listening and has a means to keep you going, or at least to point you in the right direction. From that point right there, I would go on to becoming a personal trainer, becoming director of the downtown YMCA, going on to write curriculums that would train other regular folks to be trainers, starting my own business, starting my own nonprofit, getting the self-confidence, right, to not see myself as a homeless bum on the street anymore, but someone who has value, someone that can give back to the community, and someone who, too, can raise a family and see them thrive, right? So, and that's where I'm at right now. But I'm not going to shut the door on the past, as I've been trained to say a lot. I don't even regret it because I know that it's a part of who I am right now. For me, it makes up my whole non-judgmental self, because how could I say to anybody, oh, you this, you that, you that, knowing from where I come from. Most of the homeless people that I know that I worked with in the past, because I've worked in the homeless field too, have been really solid people. Despite whatever things they may have going on in their life, you might have heard the saying of street love ain't no love like street love. I found that to be true. I found that folks on the street would provide me shelter where I didn't have any place to go, and that was important. They would give me love. Oh, you hungry, man? Here's a little something. That was important for me. So here I am doing work in the community now as a fitness professional. My mind is not so much on just the people who can afford my services. My mind is on who needs it but can't afford it. And that's the motto of my nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
My nonprofit Fit to Give is strictly one-on-one training for free for those who need it and can't afford it. Right? Mm. Because I've seen in my position for years now, let's say a gym. A sister comes into the gym. She knows she's overweight. She's dealing with prediabetes, diabetes, some other obesity-related diseases. She wants to get help. Her doctor told her she needs to get help. And she's coming in the gym, a big box gym usually. I'm not going to name any names. And there's this contract. There's this, you have to give us your credit card, and we have to get into your account to keep your membership going. And we know that all our people are not able to handle that type of thing. They're going to walk out the office as soon as the contract comes out. And that's been my experience, which is why I started my company Fit to Go, because I saw that there was a need and everybody was not willing to come to some gym to be put on spotlight or to be taken, getting their money taken from them when they can't afford it. The need necessitated the solution, right? And that's throughout life. Contrast, a problem comes, there's a solution available. If we look for it, we can keep our eyes on the problem or we can keep our eyes on the solution. We got a choice. So Brother Kaba, one of his sayings I really, really appreciate is it's not over until we win. We in this for the long haul. It may not happen in my lifetime or yours, but it's not over until we win. And winning,
I like that,
looks like everybody thriving. Everybody is moving towards wholeness. Everybody is looking at body, mind, and spirit connection. In the fitness industry, I would say about 2008 or so, we started getting information through organizations like AFA, ACE, American Council on Exercise, and training us that we have to be a more holistic-minded industry. No more mm-hmm. are we supposed to be just like, give them an exercise and just count it out for them, make sure they're doing it right and good, going to the next thing. No, now we have to start taking classes in behavioral modification, the trans-theoretical model change. How do you do open-ended questions to facilitate dialogue with your clients, to help move them in a direction of behavioral change? Because if we're talking about moving from, oh, I can eat whatever I want, I don't care, to, no, I'm watching what I want to eat, and I want to incorporate exercise and other healthy things, you're talking about behavior change. And if you've been doing the other behavior for 20, 30, 40 years or more, it's not going to come so quick. It's not just, oh, my New Year's resolution is I'm going to lose 100 pounds starting tomorrow on the 1st, whatever. It's going to be 40 miles into the woods and 40 miles out, or wherever long it was. There's, you know, a process.
That's right.
It's not going to be that easy, a switch, and now I'm thinking better, I'm doing better. Oftentimes, there's some back and forth. One of my jobs, one of my contracts, is I get to go into North Campus. This is the Richmond Behavioral Health Authority's drug treatment facility.
Brother Ricky, I think we lost him for a minute. Until he comes back, 845-277-9250, 845-277-9250. We're talking with Brother Ricky Martin. He's a fitness expert, right? And you've heard today that the brother came through some trials and tribulations and some challenges and some tests and a bunch of changes to get to where he is now. So he's sharing his story. And again, you can go over to Slido, that's slido.com, S-L-I-D-O.com. If you have a statement or a comment, the number is 6882568. You're listening live to African American Empowerment Saturday. It is 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment for the African American community. We're talking about health and wellness, mind, body, and spirit today. So we'll talk about healing. So while we're waiting, let me go to the lines and see. Let me go over to Brother Kebulan. Brother Kebulan, you there?
Yes, yeah, I'm here.
All right. And yes. You're a regular on the show. Brother Ricky is really talking about health and wellness and why that's so good. Why do you feel that's so good for the African-American mind, right, and the African-American spirit, that piece is so important to us through your experience?
Well, with health, body, and mind, that's what the subject was?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, got to think about that. I mean, health is very important because you don't want, a lot of us end up taking care of our loved ones. And a lot of times, the caregiver end up being passed away before the one they're taking care of. And you don't want your loved one to leave here prematurely because they commit suicide. Because that's what it is. If you eat unhealthy, you're committing suicide. If you're not taking care of your mind, your body, your whole being, you're committing suicide. And we have to take care of our total being. I mean, because you got some great minds on this program, and some of them, we all got our shortcomings as far as diet is concerned, but at least we know that's important. It's important for take care of our body in order for us to think clearly. And so it's just a total being. But I do have a comment. I have a comment, and if it's called, I can respond to it, fine. If not, because it's about someone else, like Tyler Perry, who was homeless. And I'm sure the speaker has read about other people who was homeless. And I do wonder, how does a person go from being homeless to getting the capital needed to start something like Tyler Perry and others who were homeless at first? I do want to know that. I always wonder how that happened, you know. What source do you actually go to get capital to get started? So I do want to know that, though. You got a lot of disconnects. Hello.
muted.
Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you.